At my house, periodically, we will ask our children who their favorite parent is. And you might call that a competition if you want. Call it what you want. It's fun. We'll ask them that, and my oldest, she will usually say me because she feels sorry for me. She has pity on me. Right? She knows the odds are against me, stacked greatly against me. Then the middle child will say, "You're both my favorite." And she said, so we have a diplomat in the house, you know. She'll say, "You're both my favorite." She won't choose. She won't do it. But the youngest will say, "Mom," with a devious grin on her face. Because she knows it gets me riled up. Okay? You remember when you were younger, you remember best friends? You know, you have a best friend and you have the BFF, best friends forever. I want to take a poll of our young people to set the record straight for us this morning. Okay, first two rows. I want to take a poll. I want your opinion. I don't often ask for it. So take advantage of this, okay? Can you have only one BFF? Or can you have multiple BFFs, right? Best friends. Is it only one? You can only have one best friend. Or you can have multiple best friends. Are y'all ready? Ready to vote? All right, raise your hand if you can only have one best friend. Raise your hand. Wow, times have changed. All right, if you can have multiple best friends, the record has been set straight. Okay, so adults, grown-ups, older ones, you no longer have to disappoint one of your friends by letting them down. They can all be your best friend. We're going to look in Scripture this morning. The title of today's sermon is Faith First. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." We see in Scripture when it comes to God, we can't share God. He doesn't want to be 1A. He wants to be number one. There is no 1A. There's number two, number three, four, five. But God says He's number one. And this goes back early in Scripture. Exodus 20:3 says, "You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath and the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Within the Ten Commandments, God says, "I'm first." And He says it at the first of the Ten Commandments. And then He reminded them, "Hey, by the way, I'm jealous." The word jealous is not automatically a bad thing. To be jealous in its most pure form is to be protective of what's yours. If a husband is jealous of his wife because another man is flirting with her, that's an appropriate jealousy. And God says that He's jealous. He wants and demands, and rightfully so, is number one in our life. Matthew 22:37. Jesus being asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." It's the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Is there any confusion as to where God wants to be in your life? Numero uno. Number one, He wants to be first. To set priorities is a normal part of our life, right? Yesterday, many of you had a day off, didn't have to work, maybe didn't have to do, for the majority of your day, maybe all your day. You didn't have to do anything if you didn't want to, so you could choose. And you probably prioritized. You might have gotten something done because it was important, but other things, not so much. Maybe some things didn't get done. We went on vacation recently, and as a result of the Dave Ramsey class, which has had a somewhat delayed effect on us, we've applied Dave Ramsey principles in numerous ways in our personal finances, but I think this is the first big vacation, full-fledged, that we took with planning ahead, not putting anything on a credit card. And doing so, you can imagine, planning ahead, we knew there will be some things on the trip that we'll have to say no to because we took cash and when it's out, and we've got to set this much aside so we can eat on the way home and that kind of deal. Well, we prioritized some things, and the very first thing we prioritized, which we didn't take cash, we swiped a card, but we left that much money in the account. The number one thing on the priority was gasoline. Okay? We will need that. I mean, we can come home hungry if we have to, but we got to get home. We prioritize in our life. And so regarding our faith, how does that work? And I want to talk about a few different aspects of our life. First one is our personal, private lives. How does God come first in my personal, private life? Does He come first? And so let's talk about prayer for a minute. In Luke 5:16, Scripture says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And we have a great passage in Mark 1:35 that just talks about one occasion where Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark, went off by himself to pray. Prayer was a priority in Jesus' life. Jesus prayed first. He prayed early. He prayed often. He prayed late. We have record of him praying all night. Jesus prayed. It was a priority in his personal life, private life. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, this is Jesus teaching about prayer. And incidentally, this is one of the more misunderstood scriptures in the Bible, probably not to faithful Christians, but this is misunderstood by the world. In fact, I was just reading on the internet recently about, and someone had posted a question about, should you always pray in private? Some type of question like that, and then you have people answering, putting their opinion. It was on a website like that, and you can imagine the. And I'm not using this word offensively. You can imagine the ignorance of people's opinion. And because some people would post, hey, Jesus said pray in private, public prayer is out, it's wrong. Well, Jesus was teaching against the Pharisees who would pray a personal prayer, but they would do it on the street corner, out loud. And it would impress people. And it was a personal prayer, but they were doing it private for show. And so Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. It's a reminder of we don't just pray here. We don't just pray at the dinner table. But personally, aren't we connected to God personally? Doesn't our faith come first personally in our private prayers? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continually. And I actually like the King James and New American Standard, which translates this, pray without ceasing. Pray and don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Now, can we literally do that? No. Probably not. No. But the idea is not a literal, if I ever shake your hand and we're ever talking, you better be praying too, because the Bible said pray without ceasing. It's not that. But it's the idea of pray often. And throughout each day, if something good happens, can we not praise God for it? Throughout each day, if something challenging happens, can we not ask God for help with it? I developed a habit some time back, and I can't even take credit for it. I didn't do this on purpose. It just happened. But I now have this habit that when I'm talking to people, if the conversation changes from light and fluffy and shallow and that kind of conversation, if it goes to anything important, serious, of any kind of nature, I find myself praying. While I'm talking, if you come to me with a problem, I'm probably doing this. Don't be offended. But I find myself, at the time we're talking, I'm also praying, for God to help them, but I'm also praying for God to help me. What do I say? What does this person need? And how often in our life do we, is it appropriate to pray personally? And the answer is all the time. I mean, all over the place. Both prayers of praise and prayers of request and prayers of, you know, God forgive me. I find myself doing this too. I have thoughts come in my mind that I know are not, you know, they're not positive. They're not good thoughts. They're grumbling and complaining or bitter or resentful or those things. And I have to pray, or I do pray, God forgive me of that. And I try to get my mind back on track. There's always times and ways to pray and put God first in our life in that way. What about time in the Word? Look at Psalm 119. This one psalm, it's very, very long, but it says so much about the Bible. Psalm 119, and I just want to point out five verses in this chapter. Psalm 119:15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. For I delight in your commands because I love them. How sweet are your words to my taste. Where does God's word come in our lives? Priority wise. And I want to just point out in this verse 16, I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. There are a number of things that I neglect in my life or have neglected. I recently redid a fence and part of our property, and I had neglected it for the whole time we've lived in that house. Thing was falling down when we bought the house, when we moved in. It's been neglected. Yesterday I bought a weed eater. I don't think I've used a weed eater this season. Do you want to guess how my grass looks around my trees? Before I trimmed it yesterday, I neglected it. I would mow, but not, you know, do any trimming around trees and different things in the yard. I have a couple toilets at my house that run periodically. You know, when the seal. I'm not an expert on toilets, but periodically the, you know, water fills that tank a little bit. I know it needs some attention. I've neglected that. There are times that I've neglected my children. There are times that I've neglected my wife. There are times that I've neglected God's word. Now, some of those things don't really bother me. The fence, I got to it. Right? The toilets, you know, it's not really on my mind too much. Okay? I'll get there. But neglecting my children, that bothers me. Neglecting my wife, that bothers me. How much does it bother us when we neglect God's word? The opposite way of asking that is, how much do I love this? How much do I cherish this? What place does it come in my life? Is it first in my life? How about our private worship? When we worship, we don't just worship here, right? But anytime privately, personally, if we say a prayer to God, a prayer of thanksgiving, that's worship, isn't it? I mean, anytime we acknowledge God and His goodness, that's worship. And someone made this statement: how can once a week worship satisfy the heart of those who know and long after God? If I only worship God here and I don't ever worship God in private in my prayers or in song in private, if I don't worship God in private, how can I really say that this 1 hour is enough for me? That this is enough to get me till the next Sunday, that I don't want more worship toward God or don't need it? James reminds us every good and perfect gift is from above. And so we always have occasion, if there's something good in your life or something good happens, that's an opportunity to give God the credit. And you might say, Elliot, I don't really think God, you know, yes, it's good, but I don't really think God did it. Is it good? Yeah, it's good. Then God did it. Yeah, I know, but I just don't think God would. You don't understand. If it's good, now we might debate whether it's good or not, but if something's good, it has God's fingerprints on it, either directly or indirectly. And we can give God credit for it. Is there anyone here this morning suffering? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I know the answer to the question. Physically suffering? Emotionally suffering? Worried about loved ones suffering? Paul and Silas are in prison in Acts 16:25. They don't know their future. Now, they trust God, but you talk about suffering. How about being in prison when it's very possible that you will die a martyr's death? Maybe spend the rest of your life in prison. Maybe be tormented, tortured, but you're praising God, praying and singing hymns to God. We always have opportunities to worship God. I want us to think about in the workplace. Many of you will go to work tomorrow. Our young people in a few weeks will be back at school. Is our faith first in those times? And 2 Corinthians gives us a great passage about this. Paul says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Scripture says we are to be a light on a hill. We are the aroma of Christ. We are a fragrance to everyone, to both those who are saved, but also those who are lost. When those who are lost see a Christian, they should see something unique. It should be unique in how we talk. When we're in the world, our language should reflect a Christian, and people should see that. The way we dress, dressing in a way that honors God, dressing in a way that's modest, that is a way that we honor God. Now, we may stand out, but it's a way we honor God and put our faith first. Our attitude, when everyone around us is grumbling and complaining, but we're not, that joyful attitude should stand out. It's a way of us putting our faith first and sharing, witnessing to the lost about being a Christian in the way that you do it, in the opportunities that you have. And it may be as simple as at work on Monday or at school on Monday, it's common to talk about what you do over the weekend. Well, why not drop in at youth group, we did this? Why not drop in, you know, after church, we went and did this on Sunday? That's a way to let your light shine and put your faith first. All right, and then lastly, let's think about family for a minute. Joshua has this great statement that he makes to the nation of Israel. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my family, me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Where does faith come in relation to other things in our life, family-wise? And we talked growing young families class this morning about sports, children's sports, and what a challenge it is in our society today, because it does come in conflict with faith and times of gathering. Where does faith come regarding those things? Where does faith come regarding entertainment? Stephanie and I wanted to watch a movie the other night on demand, and flipping through the movies, trying to choose one. And we made a decision a while back not to watch any movies that were R-rated. You know how many movies that look like that would be interesting to watch? Hey, maybe this one, rated R. I mean, we have a practice, long-standing practice, of discarding those. We went through You know, we had to go back through the list a second time to find something. But where does our faith come regarding entertainment? What about our faith outside of church times? As a family, we want to put our faith first by praying together as a family. We want to put our faith first by having devotional time as a family, some Bible reading time as a family, to put our faith first in that way and not just when we're here at the building. And then lastly, a scripture that is semi-shocking, if you've never heard it before, or the first time someone might read it. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus wasn't advocating for us to hate people. Jesus is making the point here, and that is God comes first. First over what I want to do, first over sometimes what I think I need to do, first over my friends, first over my family, first over my children, first over my wife, first over even me. Jesus said God comes first. Sometimes we've been fooled, sometimes we've been lied to, I would say by Satan. And we may have been tempted to choose family and say, well, we'll stay home, we won't go, because we'll have family time. And I remind you, put your faith first, even when it conflicts with family. Put it over family. I want to close and share an article. I want to read from an article written about a young couple's wedding day. It says, a couple in love managed to steal a few moments of stillness during the frantic hours before their wedding. That quiet and intimate moment struck a chord with thousands online. A picture and this story has gone viral. Bray Curtis, age 23, and her bridesmaids were fussing over last-minute details in her dressing room when her future mother-in-law walked in with a message. "Sweetheart, your groom has called for you." At first, the bride didn't want to go. She still had so much to do. She was worried about her hair, her dress, her makeup. The bride's heart fluttered as her mother-in-law pulled her to a corner where her groom, Josh, was waiting. What could he want? When she sat down, the nervous bride slid back into the chair so that Josh couldn't see her dress. She managed to squeak out, "Hi, sweetie, we're getting married today." He said, "I know, baby, I want to pray with you before we do." The 24-year-old groom replied. It was the last thing she was expecting. She later commented, "Everything culminated in that moment right there. Faith is a huge part of our relationship and plays a role in everything we do." The Lynchburg, Virginia couple held hands across a corner while the wedding coordinator rushed around, the photographer snapped away, and the bridal party continued their preparations. She only remembers bits and pieces of her August 11th wedding last year, but she'll never forget those 40 quiet seconds. "I think this photo has gone viral because it's not about me," she said. "No one is looking at it for my dress or the venue or my hair or jewelry. That stuff doesn't matter. I think people are touched because it's two young people taking a minute to forget about those things and thank the Lord for what he's done." Faith first. Ladies, young ladies, ladies who plan to marry someday, look for a man like that. And young men, men who are planning to marry someday, who would like to marry someday, be a man like that. Put your faith first. We all have opportunities to put our faith first, and may we do that in everything we do. Would you bow with me? God, we come before you with heavy hearts. We want to please you in all we do. We want to honor you. And we know we certainly do oftentimes, but many times we are tempted, we are weak, and we fall short, and we pray you forgive us for those times. We pray you would strengthen us so that we could put you first in everything we do, in our private lives, our lives when we are in the world, with our families, in everything we do, that we would put you first and honor you most. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. This morning we're going to sing this song of encouragement. If there's something on your heart, maybe something connected to this message, something we could help you with this morning. If you're not right with God, let us help make you right this morning. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
When we walk with the